is an interview conducted by Jan Jacob on December the 4th, 1972 in Goliad, Texas. I am interviewing Mrs. Charlene Lott of Goliad, who will share with us her memories of the town of Riverdale, Texas. Mrs. Lott was born in 1890 in Goliad County. She and her husband, Mr. Freeman Lott Sr., lived near Riverdale and reared both of their sons there. Riverdale began as a cooperation of farmers and businessmen in 1912. Due to financial losses, the town folded in 1942.
Go ahead, it hadn't started. The stores that were there, how many stores were there?
Just one great big store. It was an immense thing.
My word, and this all started from the stock and the mercantile store.
And the mercantile and the gin. That was a part of this organization of people that took stock and bought so many so that they would be able to start this little community. But it didn't pay off. Won't go into details there.
What was the daily activity at the schools, and how far could the children go to school in Riverdale and things like this?
Well, they went through the seventh grade. And when they left that time, they didn't have junior highs, and they went from that little school right into high school. Mm-hmm. And the teachers, they had two. Aline taught there the last few years of that school. And I don't know how Ms. Lott entertained them. For recess, they had always, like you all do, and at noon. And then she'd put on plays and just all kinds of things. She was very good at things of that kind. Aline was too. And of course, when the year closed, the school in May, while this immense picnic took place, and people all from Goliad and Beeville and everywhere came. You can't imagine how immense that thing was.
My word, what are the different activities that they had at the picnic?
At the picnics? Well, I think some of the men played poker and the women cards. And then just to get together and talk. Just very informal.
And did they have box lunches? And
yes, everybody brought everything they could bring, that you know. And then there was always a whole lot left. And how we ever kept it from spoiling, I don't know. But we stayed for supper and ate what was left.
Well, I think. Well, did the children have games and things?
Yes,
like that?
I'm sure they did. They all, John Freeman, you know, wherever he is, and Booker Clark, they had a baseball game. You know that.
And fiddling.
What?
Fiddling.
Playing up. I don't remember that so much, Bobby Lee. There might have been.
Okay. Could I ask you to describe the location of Riverdale again? And how it got started, about the little community.
Well, the little town or community was located in this bend, sort of a horseshoe bend of the river. That is not exactly correct, but it is in a bend. And it goes through on the edge of some of the very finest farmlands in the county. Mm-hmm. And there was a bridge that crossed the river right at Riverdale, a great high bridge that the county had built. And some of the owners of land surrounding this particular spot decided that if they could get together and sell enough stock and organize a company, that it would be a paying thing. That's mm-hmm. how it all started. And so they did, and built this huge mercantile shop or store. And it was built on a solid concrete foundation. And the concrete blocks were for the sides, you know. And then they built one of the largest gins that I ever saw. Mm-hmm. Big gin. And as I said, they had a blacksmith shop. They had to have welding and things like that done, you see, for machinery. So they opened that up. Then they built a schoolhouse. And it may be that I was mistaken in telling you that it was a one-room schoolhouse, but I do think it was a big building, and it was divided by something like our shutters that we have now. It folded some way, and I don't believe they used the two rooms until just a few years before it closed. Then there was also a building that we used for the church. Now, what was that for first? I don't remember. But anyhow, we had the church services, and we'd get together for singing in groups. We all loved to sing, you know. And with your grandfather there to lead us, while we certainly had some good times.
Did you have an actual preacher there in Riverdale?
Occasionally, one would come out from town.
And then the rest of the church service was done?
Just by the lay people, particularly your grandfather.
And you mentioned earlier about the Sunday school classes.
Well, we had quite a good group of little children, anywhere from 5 to 10, 11 years old. Mm. And they got good training, I'll tell you that, in Bible. And Mr. Clark would sometimes preach for us, and I have heard not many sermons that were any better.
Well, that's a compliment.
Well, it is. I loved him. He was, I thought, was just a wonderful man.
Well, thank you. The students that came from Riverdale School and then came in after they finished schooling there into town, what sort of preparation did they have to make for town?
Well, I think they were accepted. Very few, if any, were refused. And most of those students really made some of the highest grades that Goliad School has ever known.
And I imagine it was due to the teacher.
Yes, due a lot to their ambitious and patient teacher. And she just knew how to bring the best out of children.
Do you know the different subjects that Mrs. Lott taught?
Well, I know that she taught geography and history and mathematics. And one outstanding subject to me was, because my son got so much good from it, was physiology. And she went into that, and she was ahead of her time. I know the first time I'd ever heard of vitamins and things like that, that Helen would teach them things to eat. And, greens and food and all. Well, John Freeman never would have touched any of that if she hadn't made him realize that he could grow to be strong, and he wanted to be a baseball player worse than anything on earth. So, but she really was excellent when it came to those kind of things. Now, I don't know of any other subjects, of course, spelling and reading, naturally.
Were there any activities that were connected with the school, say at Christmas time for the program or anything like that?
Well, she always put on a lovely program in there and at the close of the school. And she taught speech, or that is, you know, when we had the county, I can't say the words, you'll have to.
Is that the declamation?
Yes, yes, that was it. And her pupils, several of them, just came off with the highest of honors.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
I see. You had started mentioning about the different things in the town, like the mercantile store and the gin and things like that. Were the houses of the people around the town, or were they further out?
Well, they were right close in. They were very close to each other and to the town. Now, when I say close, I don't mean like it would be in a town of this sort. But it was, well, Jan, the farthest, any of them. Now, Nettie and Bill Lutenbacher lived about as far as from here to the courthouse from Miss Clark. Those were the distances.
Just,
you know,
within 150 yards or so from each other.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Still had nice size yards.
Yes, they had good yards, and it was just a wonderful group of people. Now, you're talking to somebody that's very prejudiced in their favor, so.
I haven't talked to too many people that weren't.
Well, I really do think it was a wonderful community. It was just heartbreaking when it had to close. They could not afford to keep it open.
And it was financial that closed the little town down.
Yes.
Was it only connected with the mercantile store?
Well, I think the whole of the gin and the mercantile store were the pivot of the whole thing, you see. That was all. And when it closed, the thing that closed the school was when they began having all of the buses to bring the children in, you know. They quit these independent.
And they consolidated.
Schools. Consolidated the schools. Mm-hmm. That's what closed that school. But the other, the mercantile and the gin, I just think that there were gins opening up near a Goliad, and people were getting cars and getting light trucks to haul their stuff, and it was something of that nature that caused it.
Did many of the people stay in the area when the town itself or the businesses had to close down?
No, they moved, every one of them.
Isn't that a shame? Did they move to the surrounding areas?
Well, I know that the Lutenbachers moved into Goliad and bought a little home there. And now, I don't think that Miss Clark, I think she died in Riverdale. I'm not positive. She didn't. Well, I just did not know where they moved. Mm-hmm. And then Booger and Manila came into Goliad, and he got a job at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Pettises and Freeman were interested in that. But we had homes of our own, you mm-hmm. see. And then there were a number of businessmen in Goliad who bought stock.
And this all, of course, affected them financially.
Oh, yes. I can't tell you what I think about me.
Okay. When the people of Riverdale had an emergency, was there a doctor in the town, or did they
No, darling. The nearest doctor was Berclair, which was, about 15 or 18 miles, mm-hmm. and Goliad was about the same distance.
I'll be. Well, can you remember anything about the types of medicines and home cures and things like that that the people took?
Yes.
Well, I don't. It seems to me, I just can't remember, and yet I know that our children, we came to Dr. Chilton in Goliad mm-hmm. for our medicines and for him to prescribe for them. And of course they were different. We didn't have the antibiotics that mm-hmm. they have now. But they managed to get through all right.
Yes,
anyway.
They did. What about the extreme weather again? You'd mentioned something about the several hurricanes. What was what position was Riverdale in when extreme weather of any sort came?
Well, now, Riverdale was not in existence in 42, I'm sure. But in 1919, Jan, I can't tell you just how. I don't know whether it was so badly affected. The mercantile part was a wonderful. And I never have those kind of drinks.
I don't enjoy them that much. Let me ask you about the forms of communication, like the first telephones and the radios and things like that.
The telephones were, I know we had a telephone operator in Goliad that we called, and then she would ring the numbers with more other people, and she knew everybody in Goliad County and their numbers. You didn't have to give her a number. And then she always told you all of the news that had happened the night before. It was very interesting.
Who was the operator?
Oh, she was a clump, Miss
Hattie.
Oh, yes. Sweet and good as she could be, I'll tell you right now, but she and our telegraph agent was our newspaper and our weather. Oh, it was just wonderful. Well, that was marvelous days to live in, I'll tell you.
Were they the?
Oh, yes. On the wall, and you
cranked them up, yeah, and then called her.
Mm-hmm.
What about the radios? Of course, there were no TVs.
Well, darling, we didn't have any radios. I think it was in the 30s, no longer. I believe Riverdale had long departed when we got the radio. I wish I knew. Buddy ought to remember that. He's young, but he should remember when we got radio. I can't tell you when.
Did the train that came through ever take messages or mail or anything like that?
Now, Jan, I'm not sure. They might have been taking packages, and I know the things that came to the store, like, because it could be shipped. Now, they couldn't ship, you know, butter and milk like we get it now, of course. But they did get flour by the barrel and sugar like that, you know, and shortenings and bacon by the wholesale. And that would be shipped in, and all yard goods and shoes and things would come by train, I think. Because I know there were no pickup trucks, you know, and things like we have now to deliver things.
Were there canned goods and things like that?
I'm sure that came that way, too. I'm almost positive it did.
When the farmers had excess of anything, did they bring them to sell in the mercantile?
Well, I think they did. Now, I think we had lots of gardens, and I think when they had an excess of potatoes and radishes, beets, things of that kind that could keep, you see, they would bring them in, and the store would sell them for them, or buy them and then sell them like the grocery stores do here.
Could you get fresh meat?
Well, the ranchers, I know down, I don't know about Riverdale, but I think it was done the same way. For instance, there was Henry Lott and Freeman and Jim Milam and I think Mr. Tom Reed lived further up. There were five or six families, and for instance, Freeman would kill a calf, butcher it, and cut it and put it in a wagon and cover it with a sheet thoroughly so there'd be nothing dirty on it. And go to the different people that lived there on the road, you know, and we'd buy from them, or they would buy from Freeman what they wanted. They always cut off a roast or steaks or things like that. But we had no way of keeping it any length of time, you see.
Well, of the foods that were preserved, what was the process involved?
Well, they canned it and they put it down in brine, a strong brine. And did you ever hear of jerk meat?
Jerky?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, they cut it till it was paper thin almost. Mm. They sliced pieces of steak. And they covered it with black pepper and salt. And hung it on a line that was very high up, and you never saw a fly near it. It was strange, and that would hang for days until it was so dry that if you'd hit it, it would break. Then when you cooked that, you put it on in water to cover and let it simmer slowly till it softened and drain that salty water off. Maybe sometimes do it twice. And then fry it and make a cream gravy, and there's nothing on earth any better.
Ooh, that sounds good. What are some of the differences that you've noticed? I know you're such a good cook. Now in the recipes and then in the recipes.
Well, of course, then we would never have thought of using lard for cake, and we used butter, pure butter. Now I prefer oleo to butter. Isn't it strange how our taste can change?
Yes, it is. What about some of the ingredients, the spices and things like that? Were you able to get that in the mercantile store?
Well, we get, of course, Dick cinnamon and whole nutmeg that had to be grated.
Oh, my word.
And let me see. I don't believe we had the variety of spices then. We had cinnamon and we had whole cloves. And whole peppers that we ground our own coffee.
My word. And the machines that were, or the equipment that was used to do this was
screwed to the wall, and you just ground them.
Ground away.
Yes.
You ground everything in one grinder. I mean, it didn't have to be a different.
No, now the coffee grinder was entirely different. Mm-hmm. But these others were small, and they would grind the smaller things like the little peppercorns that we get now, you know. Mm-hmm. And whole cloves, not the cloves, but allspice.
Mm-hmm. How interesting. Did you have as many of the bottled things like vinegar and things like that?
Oh, yes, but they bought vinegar in a barrel or in a great big containers. We never had bottles of anything like that.
You bought for several months at a time. And what about when you would bake some of these things? You know, you hear so much now, $3.50 for... pictures of the ovens. Of course, you didn't have the thermostat.
No, we didn't, and they used wood stoves, heavy iron stoves, and cut wood to fit the firebox, mm-hmm. you see. But somehow or other, we learned by, I think, intuition or something, whether it was hot enough. I often look back on that. I wouldn't be without either an oven thermometer or a stove that has the mm-hmm. automatic now. I don't know how we could. But really, my husband thinks that bread, either yeast or biscuits, and turkey, things of that kind, never will taste as good again as they did on the wood stove. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's his feeling about it.
Gives them the flavor.
Well,
I guess.
I guess it does.
Let me ask you about some of the festivals and celebrations and things like that. Did you ever have an ice cream social?
Oh, yes. Yes, that was our main outlet, or you might say any social gathering other than picnics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, occasionally they did do that.
How did the weddings come off in these communities? Did they have all the celebration and all the things that we tend to do now?
You know, isn't that strange? I cannot remember many weddings the first few years that I was married and lived in the country. I know we had one that was quite a pretty wedding in the old Baptist church. Do you remember the cross from Christine that used to be a church there? Well, Myrtle Lott's niece, Freeman's cousin, was married there. She had a very lovely wedding. And the reason I remember it, I sang in it. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't feel able to buy a dress. Freeman couldn't. He didn't have the money. And I always hold this against my father, because he didn't buy me a pretty dress to wear to that wedding.
Don't do that. What about the big picnic at the end of school that you mentioned earlier?
Well, that was the highlight of the whole thing. It was just something that isn't easily described, because there were people not only from just the community in the country, but as I said before, I think, from Goliad and Bannon and Beeville, mm-hmm. Those who had friends and knew Riverdale well just made an extra effort to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a marvelous time. I don't think we played many games. It was just to get together and stuff good food.
Well, that's the most fun at any of these things, I think. The children, of course, didn't have the movies that we have nowadays and the television. How did they entertain themselves?
Well, they played outdoors, and they played marbles and baseball and rode horseback and things like that. I've walked many miles up the river to meet my sons coming home from Riverdale on horseback. And it was a joy to me. That's where I learned to shoot 22. So, and they just played. They could make things and do things, you know, when they didn't have other big toys and things to go and places to do. They were the happiest children in the world, I think.
Did they ever take advantage of the river to go swimming?
Oh, certainly. I can tell you something that can't go in that tape, though.
Well, we'll talk about that later. What about the hunting trips? I'm sure all the boys enjoyed their hunting.
Yes, they did, and they learned to shoot quite young, and their parents' father taught them to be very careful. I think that was the one outstanding thing to me, was Freeman and his boys, how he stressed that it was something you could not be careless with, you know. But they were learned good shots, and he was an excellent shot, Mr. Lott was, and I don't want to bring my family into it.
Oh,
but
please
to see
do.
Him on a horse was just beautiful. He was just like he was in a rocking chair. I've never seen anybody ride a horse with any more ease than he did.
Did the people in Riverdale about this time take advantage of the fact that they still had horses with every family, or did they go with the buggies or the early cars?
Well, the younger people that could ride rode horseback. You know, it was a joy. They loved it.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't feel that the cars were anything better, I guess.
No, not until my aunt was way up in the 30s, 35, mm-hmm. and up in there before we had many. Now, the Jim Allen and Henry Lott had Cadillacs. Switched up. I was just thrilled to death to get a ride in them because I didn't have anything but a buggy. But I never did mind that. I just loved the country, Jan. It was, and I still do.
Mm. Well, when you go back to Riverdale now, and I'm sure you've driven out there, what is it like?
Well, it's very, very sad. It's so desolate. There's nothing that was even connects with it. It's grown up with weeds. There's nothing but the concrete slab of the store that even denotes that anyone ever lived there. The school building has been moved off.
That's a shame. What are some of the most rewarding and some of the most cherished of your memories about Riverdale itself?
Well, I think it was the companionship, the congeniality, that's the word I want. There was never any bickering or any gossip that was ugly about anybody. It was one of the loveliest little places to be with people that I've ever known in my life.
That's wonderful. Riverdale. When, of course, there are still people now, as you are, that remember all the fond things about Riverdale, do you ever see people and start talking about it?
Well, there's not many. I've been very, very fortunate to have lived as long as I have. You see, Mrs. Jamalyn Pettis is gone, and Sissy's mother and father mm-hmm. are dead. Mm-hmm. They're just Mrs. Clark and Mr. Clark are gone. Helen is gone. I really am, Mr. Lott and I are about the only ones in the community mm-hmm. that are still living. And he's reached the age where he just doesn't remember anything mm-hmm. very much. And I'm afraid I'm fast getting life.
I doubt that very seriously. I really do. I want to thank you so very, very much for your wonderful memory.
Oh, darling, and it was fun talking to you.
Well, thank you.
The nicest part is having you in my home.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure that anybody that listens to this will get a lot out of knowing what Riverdale was like.
I hope we have pictured it like it so that they will get an idea of what the life was like.
I'm sure they will, and it was a very pleasant life, don't you think?
Oh, very. Extremely so.
Well, thank you very, very much.
We don't have anything like that now for the reason, and this is not because I'm as old as Methuselah, but because we didn't have the rush that we have now, mm-hmm. the hurry to do this and do that and to get younger. We could quietly sit and talk and enjoy each other.
And we're missing that, don't you think?
I think so. I don't know how you young people feel, but I think so.
Well, thank you so very, very much.
Well, I'm just so glad you all came. I don't want you to go.